sometimes I meet people who are kind of just struggling, trying to figure things out, maybe not doing so well financially. And I just say, just do something. Yeah. Set your hand to something. Proverbs 10, verse 4 and 5, it says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent. You can take your hand and say, my hands are diligent. The devil is a destroyer.
Hello, and welcome to the Purdue Podcast. I am Pastor Heather Purdue, and this is Pastor Aaron Purdue, and this is Real Talk and Kingdom Walk. I almost forgot what we called it.
The tagline there.
That's really bad. Anyway, thank you so much for tuning in with us today. We cannot wait to dive into this topic with you, but before we do that, we want to invite you to hit the subscribe button, comment, let us know where you're watching from, what your real name is, and not just your YouTube handle. We want to let you know that we are also on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. You can find us there if you're a mom like me and you like to pull something up on your phone and stick it in your pocket while you clean the house. You can do that. We're on Spotify. We're on YouTube. We have a website, CarisChristianCenter.com, because we work at a church, right?
It's true.
What else? What
it's
else
a great
is
church.
There? There's always a lot to say.
Yeah, and on our YouTube page here.
Oh, yeah, YouTube.
There's lots and lots of great series.
So. Yeah, you can go to the playlist tab. You can find all kinds of topics.
Yeah, we have a television program, Grace for Today, that goes all around the world. And Pastor Lawson is kind of the main teacher on
He's
that.
A great
he
teacher.
Goes in depth on a lot of topics that people don't really know a lot about.
Yeah.
Like, and I see other people comment or try to do teachings on them, and they don't really know
what they're talking about.
What they're talking about necessarily. So there's a lot of topics about, you know, praying in tongues, what the gifts of the Spirit are.
One thing about Pastor Lawson, he is a walking Bible.
Yeah.
That man has got the Bible memorized.
And it's funny, I see people have a big following and they'll dive into a topic that
and you're
like,
that is
and
not
they,
in context.
Yeah, and they just kind of pull out some opinions and ideas and not really sticking with just what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm. I like this topic we're going to talk about today.
I think so too.
What is
I know
it?
This is one of Pastor Lawson's favorite topics.
Oh,
we're going to be talking about diligence.
Mm.
Kind of the importance of just working hard.
Yeah.
And several years ago, my dad, this is probably, I think it was before I moved back to be a pastor. So this is probably 12 years ago. About 12 years ago, he asked me and my two younger brothers, we're all 2 years apart. I'm 38 now. Andrew is 36. Peter's 34. My 36-year-old brother, Andrew, is now in the oil and gas industry, very high up in that industry. My youngest brother, Peter, is the COO of Burger King, very high up in, you know, that corporate world. Number two overall of Burger King. But he asked us, this is about 12 years ago, he's going to be teaching on parenting.
Mm.
And he wanted us to all type up, you know, the 10 things we felt that he really instilled in us.
Yeah.
So we all did this individually, but the number one thing that me, Andrew, and Peter all put down on our list, the top 10 things that Pastor Lawson taught us growing up, number one was a strong work ethic.
He taught y'all.
Strong
work ethic.
Something that needs to be taught.
Yeah.
And something that needs to be valued as well.
Mm-hmm.
I actually put this as our first point on this topic of diligence. But I said a strong work ethic is a godly virtue.
Yeah.
And I want to read from Proverbs 10, verse 4 and 5. It says, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent. The hand of the diligent. So you can take your hand and say, my hands are diligent. These are diligent hands.
These are not slackful hands.
There's actually a in the blessing in Deuteronomy 28, it says, whatever your hand touches will prosper. Sometimes I meet people who are kind of just struggling, trying to figure things out, maybe not doing so well financially, and I just say, just do something.
Yeah.
Set your hand to something.
Yeah. God
literally anything.
Steer if you a parked car.
Do so, the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. You know, there are different seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And there are seasons where you know, it's harvest time or it's sowing time and you need to set your hand to something.
Yeah.
I was thinking about something Jesus said. I'm going to turn there really quick.
Okay.
But you can talk about setting your hand to just doing something.
Yeah, it kind of drives me crazy when people expect God to get things to them without them doing anything. Mm-hmm. Because the Bible has a lot to say about being a doer of the word. And it's not enough to just believe the word, but you need to speak the word, and you also need to do what the Bible says to do. And so that's important, right?
Yeah.
So what scripture are you at?
I was going to share this scripture from Luke 9, verse 62. And it's kind of interesting how blunt Jesus puts this here. So people...
I like for somebody to just tell me straight up.
I'll actually read a few verses back. So he's calling people to follow him. So assembling his team.
Yeah.
His dream team.
Okay.
Of redneck cussing fishermen and
why they gotta
doubtful
be redneck,
doubters and, you know, just his ragtag team of early followers. And he tells someone here, this is Luke 9, verse 59. He said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, let me go and bury my father." Mm-hmm. Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." So kind of insincere, almost, like unsympathetic.
Let the dead bury their dead. He's talking to somebody who has, like, lost someone that they love. Yeah.
And I need to go bury them. And he's like, now we're leaving right now and it's time to go. Don't worry about that. Go and preach the king. And Jesus probably could have been accused of being callous.
Yeah.
There. You sometimes need some people who can be a little callous towards you, not just care about your feelings.
Or who can just maybe not be callous so much, but just
tell you what's really important.
Have you allowed anyone to speak truth into your life whatsoever? Mm-hmm. Have you allowed that at all? Mm-hmm. Or are you just one of these people that wants people around them that are yes men?
Yeah. And verse 61 here, Luke 9, another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." And I think this is kind of Jesus' conclusion to these people who are a little bit wishy-washy, and if they're really going to follow him. And Jesus needs some committed people because he knew that he was going to die and that most of his early followers were going to die as well. So he needed some people who were going to be very diligent. Yeah. So verse 62, he says this, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." That's very blunt. So put your hand to the plow and keep doing what God has called you to do and don't look back and just keep doing what God has called you to do.
People want you to look back. People want you to get stuck looking back all the time. Mm-hmm. Jesus even said, "Remember Lot's wife."
It's one verse in the Bible, three words. Yeah. Remember Lot's wife. Great.
What happened to Lot's wife for the people that may not know?
Turn to a pillar of salt.
Because why?
She was told to leave Sodom and Gomorrah.
She was looking back.
Looking back, kind of thinking about how the good old days in Sodom and Gomorrah were there.
They were not good days.
They weren't good days.
No,
there.
But then also speaking of looking back, you know, and speaking of let the dead bury their dead, when King David's first son died, Bathsheba's first son died, he fasted, he mourned or whatever, he died. And then what did he do right after that? He got over it. He got up, he changed his clothes, and he went on with his life. And sometimes we need to be a little bit diligent in our thinking of, hey, I'm not going to sit here and mope and dwell on the past, what happened to me or what I did, the dumb things that I did. Hey, I'm going to pick myself up. I'm going to be diligent to seek the Lord.
Mm-hmm. And I love this proverb we talked about, Proverbs 10, verse 4 and 5, about the hand of the diligent makes rich, but also he who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. So be aware of the season that you're in. There are seasons where you need to 100%. Get up, go to work, accomplish things. And before I met you, I remember when I was getting my doctorate at Rice University in Houston, I was very hardworking. I got up by 7 every morning. I worked pretty much nonstop till 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. for 3 years. I was going to classes. I had to teach a class a music theory class. I had, you know, I taught flute lessons on the weekends. I ran my watch business, buying and selling. I remember like packaging up watches at midnight to go ship off the next day, and just thinking, you know, this is just a season that I'm in.
Yeah.
But it's a season that's going to lead to something in the future. Mm-hmm. And I was saying, like, I want to be a blessing to my future wife, my future family, my future kids. So right now, I want to work like a crazy person for a few years while, you know, when it's time to cut hay, you cut hay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that my dad, Pastor Lawson, really instilled in me. Is like, hey, you know, there's times to work. So, you know, you have to brand the cattle, you have to feed the cattle, you have to, you know, there's a blizzard, you got to go out and chop the ice to make water for them.
Yeah. Something that Pastor Lawson actually said not too long ago, and I don't remember like the full quote that he said, but or the full aspect of what he was talking about. But I do remember he said that harvest is work.
Mm-hmm.
That harvest season, you work like a dog during harvest season.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think that you're working hard trying to get to your harvest, wait till your harvest gets here, because you're really going to be working then.
Yeah.
And I'm sure before you got married, you were working to be able to provide for your family one day.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say you work more now that you have a family
than you did
before you didn't have a family?
Yeah.
I would think so.
Yeah.
And we're your harvest, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're the harvest of what you're believing for. Now you have a wife and two kids.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like you said, a strong work ethic is a godly virtue.
It really is. And we talk a lot about a lot of topics that a lot of people don't really talk about.
Yeah.
And it's not really valued in society today. I actually just filled out my ballot to vote here.
Oh, praise God.
And Colorado is a very blue state, you know, and it's not like a big election time right now.
Yeah.
So there's just like we're just voting for like our school board
which
and
is
there's
a big deal.
Two provisions.
It's a big deal, yeah.
And it's the provisions are basically, do you want to tax or give more taxes to people who make more than $300,000 a year? And I'm not in that taxable bracket at this moment. I do a lot of things to kind of minimize what I get taxed at, which I can, you know,
anyway,
doing self-employment things.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to, even though that doesn't affect me personally, I'm not going to vote to stick it to the most productive people in society.
It's ungodly.
It's ungodly. And it's just interesting.
And if you think that, you should repent. If you think it's somebody else's responsibility to keep you up, buddy, you need to repent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for real, come on, give me a break.
It's actually an ungodly thought. It's actually
a
very Marxist, progressive kind of way of thinking.
The hand of the diligent makes rich.
Mm-hmm.
It's not you mooching off of other people.
Mm-hmm. The hand of the diligent makes rich. This is something I've been thinking about, and I actually communicated this to all of our youth who maybe some of the older ones are dating or starting to think about dating. But I you know, I told them this because I'm thinking about my own daughter, Ada, who's 4 right now, about what I would want in her future spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And
this goes for men and women.
I think
though.
It goes for men and women.
Yes.
And these are the 3 deal breakers. Pay attention. Everyone who is single, everyone who is not married, maybe you're dating someone, maybe you're engaged to someone. You need to pay attention. These are the 3 deal breakers.
Yeah.
The 3 things that are absolute essentials for a future spouse. Number one, they must be born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. Your future spouse must be born again.
Must be.
For them to enter the kingdom of heaven, for them to enter your life, they must be a born again Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, kind hearted.
Yes.
Are they kind just deep within to every single person?
Because you can be Christian, but you might not be kind.
Are they just being kind to you because they want something from you? Because there's a manipulative type of kindness, but are they kind-hearted to everyone?
Yeah.
Even to people who can't benefit them?
Yeah.
Are they kind-hearted?
Mm-hmm.
I've observed people, too, who are maybe very successful, very influential, and you kind of see how they treat people who aren't.
Okay, so
at their status, they're not very kind. They're kind of rude. They're kind of mean. They're kind of.
So they're kind to you, but like, how do they treat their mom and dad?
Mm-hmm.
How do they treat their friends? Mm-hmm. How do they treat people that maybe they don't really like? Because, mm-hmm. you know, being married, sometimes you love your spouse. Maybe you don't like them that day, but mm-hmm. you have to get over it, you know, and you still have to be kind to people.
Mm-hmm. So the three absolute essentials
for
your future spouse. Number one, they must be a born-again Christian. Number two, kind-hearted. Number three, strong work ethic.
Period.
Strong work ethic. Mm-hmm. Marry someone who is productive. Marry someone who has purpose in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Adam had a job. J-O-B. Get a job. Don't yes. marry a bum if he don't have a job.
Do not marry him. I want you to tell them what when your brother, your middle brother, Andrew, was the first one to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And what did they say to Andrew? Before you get married, you have to
be able to
support
yourself
and your family, and you have to show us.
Yeah.
Right?
So my dad made Andrew sit down.
Mm-hmm. Good for him.
And write out his budget and how, because they got married right before his last year of college.
And he was only how old?
He was just 20.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I think, when he got married.
Yeah. So that's super young, which is fine.
20,
you can get married young, but you better have a job.
Mm-hmm.
You better be able to support yourself and your family.
So those three absolute essentials, again, for your future spouse.
Yeah.
And I've seen people, they marry someone who's a complete bum, and it doesn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
It's very frustrating.
Yep. Or they marry somebody that has a job, but they're not born again.
Mm-hmm. Very frustrating. Or just marry someone who really isn't that kind.
Mm-hmm. Or they marry somebody that has a good work ethic, is born again, but they're religious, mm-hmm. and they're mean.
Mm.
Ooh. That's terrible. Okay.
Because they'll eventually get mean towards you.
Yes, they will. And you'll get resentful.
And they'll surprise you.
And, oh, yeah. People can say some hideous things, buddy.
Mm.
Okay, moving on.
That's going to help a lot of people.
It is.
And you can't let your emotions be your God.
Mm-hmm.
This is a great prayer to pray, especially for someone who might be dating very serious with someone right now and you're not married yet, to pray, God, make it very clear to me.
Mm-hmm.
Make it super clear to me if I'm supposed to marry this person, yes or no.
And then listen to God. Don't pray that.
But he'll make it very clear, and it will get increasingly clear.
Yeah.
And if you pray that and are sincere about it, it'll get very clear, and it might go against your emotions.
Yeah.
You know, when we first started dating, you didn't really want to get married again, but you said, well, God, you need to make it clear to me.
Yeah, make it clear to me.
If this should happen or not. And he made it clear, yes, it needs to happen.
Well, I'm just going to be really real for a minute. So when I got married the first time, before I got married to my first husband, we were two people that were born again, but we had no idea what we're doing. We were baby Christians, and we weren't even seeking God, okay? So make sure if you're going to get married, make sure that it's somebody that's born again, they're kind, they have a strong work ethic, and you're both seeking the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because we weren't, and we had no idea what we're doing. And before I got married, my dad at the time said, he called me, my parents knew, they were like, these two kids are not ready to get married. But they let us do what we want to do because we're adults. But he called me and he said, Heather, if you want to back out, because we were engaged, he was like, if you want to back out, he said, I'll help you. I'll help you back out. And I was like, nope, not going to do it. And let me just tell you right now, that is a hard row to hoe, as my granny would say.
Mm-hmm.
That was the hardest 7 years of my entire life. Am I glad I stuck it out? Absolutely, I am. And do I have a wonderful son? Absolutely, I do. Do I feel like God used me during that time? Absolutely, he did. But I'm telling you right now, listen to God, okay? Because there is an easier road. You don't have to take the hard road. You don't have to learn from the school of hard knocks.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So listen to the Lord. Oh, it drives me crazy.
And you might think, well, I'm kind of miserable being single. Well, you can be miserable.
You think you're miserable single? Woo, buddy. You just wait till you get married. just wait till you get married and you don't check these boxes that we're telling you to check, I will tell you I told you so. So that's don't true. Come talk to me.
So those three absolute essentials for someone whom you may marry for a future spouse. Yeah, I think we should say it again. Number one,
we're going to add four.
Born again Christian.
Okay, born again Christian.
Number two, kind-hearted. Number three, strong work ethic.
And number four, make sure you're both seeking the Lord with your whole heart. Mm-hmm. Both. Not one, not just one of you, both of you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow, that's really great. We could just stop right there, couldn't we? But we're not going to.
That could help a lot of people.
It could. If
the strong work ethic thing is really, really important.
Yeah.
And just being productive and working hard all across the board.
Yeah.
That's something that's very lacking in society today.
Yeah. Hard work.
Hard work. In all labor, there is profit. Mm-hmm. That verse has given me comfort many times. Sometimes you think, man, I'm not really making much. I'm not really recognized. I'm not really, but in all labor, there is profit. I love labor. I love mowing my own lawn. I remember
I was talking to
a minister here. He's from the South. To him, like it's a sign of affluence when you have people mow the lawn for you. And I said, I mow my own lawn. I was raised by Pastor Lawson.
This?
Mark Hankins.
He has a big lawn though.
Yeah.
That's a lot
He travels all the time.
Yeah,
so.
He does.
And he lives in the South where you got to mow every other day.
Yeah.
But I love doing something, setting my hand to the plow.
Especially when there you can see your hard work. Like you can do it. You can take a step back and just see what you just did.
Yeah.
Like not all work is like that.
I know. It's a strong work ethic.
But in all work and all labor, there is profit.
Yeah.
So whether you can see it right now, you might not be able to, but you will see it.
Yeah, and God can bring that profit in an unexpected, unrelated way as well. So keep working hard. You might feel like, hey, my job really isn't that great. It doesn't pay well. It doesn't, you know, I don't really like my boss. I don't like what I do, but just keep working hard.
Yeah, be thankful. Have a good attitude.
Have a good attitude.
Because there is profit in it.
And realize to every, man, when you realize that you're blessed by God, and the blessing is on your life, and that whatever you do is blessed, whatever you touch is blessed. Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy 28, verse 8. I want to read this because this is so true. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses. So that, man, if the Lord will command, the same Lord that said, let there be light, and there was light, He commands His blessing on you. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are blessed. Amen. And His commanded blessing is on you. In your storehouses, get some storehouses.
Yes.
Start saving.
Mm-hmm. Something.
Save 10%. Mm-hmm. Give 10%. Live off the 80. You will be blessed your entire life.
80% is plenty to live off of.
Get some storehouses.
Yes.
And in all to which you set your hand, His commanded blessing is on everything you set your hand to. Literally.
So the more things you set your hand to.
You set your hand to things, and they will be blessed. And everything my hand touches is blessed.
Amen.
My business is blessed. My vehicle is blessed. My lawnmower is blessed. My kids are blessed. Mm-hmm. Whatever ministry I'm involved with at the church is blessed. Mm-hmm. It grows. It's healthy. Every person that I counsel, that I minister to, they're blessed. Every single person that I lay my hands on and pray for, they are blessed. Sickness has to go.
Amen.
To all to which you set your hand. I just touch things and they're blessed. They're worth more. Just because I own it and because I put it up for sale.
Amen.
It is worth more because it's been touched by someone who is blessed.
Amen. That's good.
This is not figurative. This is literal.
Literally, yeah.
When I put my offering... When I write my check and put it in the offering, it is blessed. It's going to touch lives. It is going to bless the ministries that I sow into. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. That is so true. Mm-hmm. Stop complaining and go do something.
That's a word.
Stop complaining about what other people are doing and criticizing what other people are doing and tearing down what other people are doing and start building something.
Amen.
God is a creator. Mm-hmm. The devil is a destroyer. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people out here on YouTube. They're just criticizing. They're just critics. They're just tearing people down, but they aren't building anything. Mm-hmm. Shut up. You're ungodly.
Oh, he's preaching now.
You are lazy.
Uh-oh, he's preaching now.
You are full of the devil.
Oh, gosh.
Just shut up and do something. Shut up and go to work. Shut up and mow your lawn. Just shut up. Stop being so critical. And just gossiping.
Amen.
And talking about people you know nothing about.
Yeah. And also, that's the way you got to talk to the devil, too. Because he comes and he tries to say all that stuff to you. Mm-hmm. That's how he comes. And then you start giving him a voice. Mm-hmm. So when he comes and he says, you know, they have this, they have that, they, you know, everything they do works out for them. Tell him to shut up.
You know what? I have something else to say.
Oh, gosh.
Right now. There's something kind of trending right now.
What?
The No Kings protests.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you're a few hundred years late to that protest. The majority of Americans, look at the map of the last election. Look at the map, the voting map. America spoke, so you need to shut up. For the next 4 years, you need to shut up and get a job. Mm-hmm. All these people who are showing up protesting, like, get a job. Get a J-O-B. Mm-hmm. Be a producer. Stop being so negative and complaining and just tearing people down and being crazy. Mm-hmm. Get a job.
I have one king in my life. His name is Jesus.
Amen. That's right. And if you're really serving Jesus, you're going to have purpose in your life.
That's right.
You're going to want to do something. That's good. The hand of the diligent will rule. Proverbs 12, 24. But the lazy man. And the Bible has a lot to say. The Bible is very anti-communist.
Yeah, he is.
Jesus,
he
man.
Is.
He
it
would,
is, yes.
That Marxist progressive woke ideology.
Garbage.
It's garbage.
Yeah.
You know, and if you look at a map of cities that are progressive, that are woke, that are Marxist, that are communist, that are socialist leaning, it's not a good map. Those places struggle.
Yeah.
They struggle financially. Mm-hmm. My brother Peter, he is the COO of Burger King. Number two of all of Burger King. And he said if it's a blue place, those restaurants struggle. Mm-hmm. If it's red, mm-hmm. if they vote more conservative, they thrive.
Wow. It's very interesting.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. But also where it's red, churches thrive.
Oh, well, also interesting.
And where it's blue, they're Christianity doesn't thrive.
Yeah.
So some people are like, I'm not going to be political. I'm not going to say anything political. Look at the map. Do you want churches to grow? Do you want churches to thrive? Do you want people to experience Jesus? Mm-hmm. I'm not that political of a person, but politics has become extremely spiritual lately.
It really has.
It has dived deep into the spiritual realm. Mm-hmm. So I want to say some things.
Mm-hmm. I think it's so ironic that people are they're literally saying no kings, no kings, and Jesus is the King of Kings. Mm-hmm. So to me, like, it is spiritual. Mm-hmm. It's very much spiritual. Mm-hmm. No kings, no kings. We don't want a king. We know you don't want a king. It's very evident that you're living for yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay? But Jesus is King. Mm-hmm. So put that in your Democrat pipe and smoke it.
That's true. A strong work ethic is a godly virtue. Very godly.
Yeah.
And next point here, we're just going to have two big points.
Okay.
Talking about diligence.
All right.
The hand of the diligent makes rich. Number two, a strong work ethic isn't just good for your bank account. It's good for your soul.
Amen.
It's good for your soul. When I get out and mow the lawn, it's good for my soul.
When I clean the house, it's good for my soul.
Yes.
Is it good for your soul?
It's good for
the house gets clean.
It's good for my soul. Proverbs 13, verse 4. This is great. Proverbs 13, verse 4. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing. Jesus said, depart from me, you wicked and lazy servant, and be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing. Gnashing of teeth. Man, laziness. I do not want Jesus to think I'm lazy.
Laziness doesn't fly at our house.
No. The soul of
God
a lazy
forbid
man.
Somebody take a nap.
It's a soul thing. It's a soul thing. Mm-hmm. It's a heart thing. It's a deep thing inside of a person. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. So it's not just your bank account that does well when you work hard. It's your soul.
Yeah.
Your soul will do well. The soul of the diligent shall be made rich. You know, it's a blessing to be able to work.
It is.
It's a blessing to be productive. It's a blessing to create,
mm-hmm.
to build, to restore. I love these verbs I wrote down.
Yeah.
Because some of you might not, you might be a retired person.
Mm-hmm.
You might not be doing your job full time. But
you can
still have this great purpose, yeah. and work and mission in life.
Mm-hmm.
You should always have a mission, and it could be different than a previous season.
Yeah, you don't have to be one of these retired people that you retire and then you get sick and die.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen that?
Quite a few times.
I've seen it, or
with mothers, you know, you raise your kids, but then...
Oh, and then they, like, lose it.
Lose their mind and get divorced and...
Or just whatever. They're just miserable because they put all of their purpose into their kids. They've
and that's good for that season, but you're on to another chapter because you can't be raising your kids forever. It's unhealthy.
Right. Yeah, and if...
And some people never turn that page.
No, and you should. You should not be raising your adult.
So it is a blessing to create, to build, to restore,
yeah,
to improve, mm-hmm. to provide, to cultivate,
yes,
get a garden, to grow, to help, to get to the end of a day and realize that you made something better than when that day began.
Amen. That's good.
I made my windows cleaner.
Yes.
I made my children happier.
Yeah.
I made my wife happier. I made my church cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
I made my pastor happier.
Mm-hmm.
I made my neighbor happier. I helped my neighbor. I helped.
Yeah.
I did
something.
Do something. Yeah. Be productive. It's good for your soul. Inside of all of us, deep inside of all of us, it's actually programmed inside of us that we're to make a positive, God-led, God-inspired difference.
That's
we're
good.
To make a difference.
We are.
It's to be God-inspired.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, so this is about 10 years ago when I first became a pastor. There's this kook that came to church.
Aaron, you're not allowed to say that.
It's all right.
You're not allowed to call people kooks.
If you've been to a church more than zero times, you realize that there's a few kooks that show up from time to time. So this kook that came to church, he was married, had a kid. Homeless kook. He would just like be out in the foyer and just argue with people, just a complete nut. But he came in and wanted to talk to me, and I talked to him in the office, and he said if I was a real Christian, I would let him and his family just live in my house. And he was just that previous Sunday, he was arguing with someone in the foyer of our church saying that work is part of the curse.
Lord, he
in
came
the
to
garden.
The wrong church.
Yeah, he
to
said
do that.
Said it's part of the curse, so he refuses to work.
Just where was, where
he was
Pastor
just a complete
Lawson?
Kook.
Where was Pastor Lawson during this?
I don't know. This guy just went from just was a constant thorn in the flesh to everybody. And he came to me and met me, and I had bought a 4-bedroom house. I was living there on my own with me and my dog, and he said if I was a true Christian. A true Christian. You know, this guy was an expert in Christian theology and doctrine. If you're a true Christian, you would let me and my family just live in your house. And I said, well, there's just one problem. You said to work is a curse. And I actually worked to be able to buy this house. So it would be a curse unto you. When you have some cooked up theology, it's going to come back on you. So anyways.
It's true.
It's hard for God to bless stupid.
I don't think God can bless stupid.
It's hard. It's hard. Usually stupid is rooted in pride. And God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Keep being teachable. Keep Trust in God. Keep going to work. It's good for your soul.
It is good for your soul.
Colossians 3:23. I love that it says all to which you set your hand. Mm-hmm. These are very broad terms. Some people think I just have to have that one thing to do, that one dream job, that one whatever, that one title, that one position, that like certain dollar amount that I'm going to make, and that's going to just solve all my problems.
Like if I don't have this one job, then God can't bless anything else except that one.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah. You put it all on this one thing that
true.
That if I have to get this or my boss has to promote me to this or Colossians 3:23, whatever you do. I love that. That's such a huge, whatever you do.
Whatever.
You could be cleaning toilets. You could be flipping burgers. You could be raising kids. You could be
pushing your
mowing lawns. You could be a doctor. You could be a lawyer. You could be a school teacher. Whatever you do.
Pushing your grocery cart back to the cart corral. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Those little things.
It's the little things. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine.
God brings promotion.
He does.
No one else might be seeing, but God sees
it.
And he cares and he recognizes and he rewards. He is a rewarder.
Yep.
I would rather be rewarded by God than by man.
Amen. Me too.
Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Man, have some integrity about what you do. I remember, this is something I kind of learned from my dad, but also from my years in classical music, training to be a professional classical musician and studying with and from the top classical musicians in the world. I remember my flute professor that I had, played all the big halls for thousands and thousands of people. And then she would do a little recital in Houston, and there'd be like 20, 30 people there. But she would prepare for months, every little note, every little thing,
For the 20 people.
For those 20 people.
Mm-hmm.
Just play at the top of her game. And she didn't have to. She was kind of retired from performing so much, mainly teaching then, but she would practice. I would walk by her house, actually, on the way to go see friends or go to my own place. And she'd be practicing at 10 p.m.
Oh, wow.
10 p.m.
What is it with
her
70s, staying up all night?
In her 70s, practicing, learning new things, growing. Would have guest teachers come in, would learn. We'd be taking notes the whole time.
She took notes.
She took notes.
Wow.
Yeah. She would take notes more than most of the students. She would take notes from the guest teachers that came in.
That's amazing.
Notes and so we call that artistic integrity. That you're gonna play your best and prepare the best you can no matter what. No matter how much you get paid, no matter how many people show up, they call it artistic.
Yeah,
integrity.
And can I just say sometimes Christians are the worst about this. Mm-hmm. Like, need to talk about needing to develop in this a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, they think just coming and slapping something up is just, oh, look at that, And I'm like, no, that doesn't look good, And then it kind of solidifies this, attitude towards Christians that they're just fine with being mediocre. I'm not okay with being mediocre. I'm growing. Every single day, I'm growing. I hope to God I'm better than I was yesterday,
Do it heartily.
Yeah.
As to the Lord and not to men. I love this saying, if something is worth doing, it is worth doing well.
Yes, it is.
That's really good.
Yeah, it is.
I said this about Daniel. Daniel 5:12, inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting dreams, solving riddles, explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel. And what if people just came to you for your advice? Yeah, explain this enigma, solve this problem. We should be problem solvers.
Yeah, this should be like a norm for Christians. This is what I'm talking about. Like, we Christians should be the most excellent at whatever their field is.
And we know a lot of people. We have a lot of people like this at our church. They just tapped into that flow of excellence. But even people who are in the world recognize it, and they come to them because they know it flows from the relationship with God.
Yeah.
And they say, well, and they'll say things like, well, what does your gut tell you? But really, they want to know, what's God telling you? Mm-hmm. How should we, you know,
figure this out?
What should we do with this business? How should we expand? Where should we go? Mm-hmm. What should we invest in? Mm-hmm. They can tell, like, that excellent spirit is in someone.
Yes.
Proverbs 12:27, the slothful man doesn't roast that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Mm. Man, we need to be people of substance.
Yeah.
The substance of a diligent man is precious. And this goes beyond your bank account. This goes beyond your salary. This goes beyond your title. The substance of a diligent man is precious. God wants to give you substance. Don't just work for money.
Yeah. Please.
You know, do things that bring you and others substance. Mm-hmm. And work hard for things that have substance. Yeah. It's not just about dollars and cents and what I get per hour. And work hard for things that have substance. Mm-hmm. Set your hand to the plow.
Yeah.
Don't look back and keep doing what God has called you to do. And don't just like evaluate your feelings all the time or how people perceive you or whatever. You know, I've been through some tough stuff, even in ministry, where people have really been awful to me, to you. And I just keep going. Mm-hmm. I keep trusting God. You know, I'm going to keep setting my hands to the plow. I'm not looking back.
Amen.
I'm not going to just sit here and lick my own wounds. I'm going to keep doing what God has called me to do. I'm not going to get sucked down into.
Yeah.
And God will reward me.
Yeah.
God rewards. He is a rewarder. Mm-hmm. Be diligent in things that have substance and the things that he's called you to do. Your life will be enriched. Your soul will be full.
Amen.
This is a great message for a lot of people.
Yeah. So also, if you want to stay away from burnout, you just gave the answer for that. Mm-hmm. Being diligent.
Amen.
If you're burning out, it's not because you're diligent. It's not because you're so diligent that you're wearing yourself out. Mm-hmm. It's because your focus is in the wrong spot.
Mm-hmm. Keep being consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Consistency is so important.
Yeah.
I was looking at this passage of scripture. I'm not going to read through all of it right now. You can if you want. First Corinthians 15, 51 to 58. This is talking about Jesus coming again. How the trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ will rise first. It's awesome. Uh-huh. But the conclusion of it, this is where people leave off this verse. They stop in verse 57. They leave off the last verse.
I know, I love this too.
Because this is the conclusion about what we should be excited about.
Yeah.
About the Jesus coming again, about the rapture, the great taking away of the church. It actually gives us more purpose in life right now. It makes everything more meaningful and more substance right now. And we should keep being consistent. This is the conclusion verse to that. Therefore, when you see that word therefore, this is why all that was stated. Therefore, it's here for this reason. My beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The devil wants you to think that what you're doing is in vain.
Yeah, that it doesn't matter.
That it doesn't matter.
That God's not going to bless everything you put your hand to.
That it's not going to be rewarded, that it doesn't matter, that you can just slop through it, that you can just show up to music practice at church and not know your part and just sound terrible and waste everyone's time.
Or just be unprepared in any aspect that you're in.
Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The enemy wants you to think that your hard work is in vain.
Yeah,
he's wrong.
He is wrong.
He is wrong. When you work hard and keep trusting God, you will experience incredible victory in life.
Amen.
That's really good.
Yes.
Just keep working hard. Mm-hmm. God will give you the opportunities. You just keep working hard. Keep doing a good job. Keep doing what he's called you to do. Mm-hmm. Don't be swayed. Don't. Just check up on your emotions all the time.
Do it as if you are working for the Lord, because you are.
You are.
How many times have we said that? Like any time we have like a little grievance or whatever it is, I've heard you say, well, really God's my boss. Mm-hmm. Really I'm working for God. Mm-hmm. And when you are in that spot.
But honor your boss too.
Definitely honor your boss.
Don't and be like.
We actually have a lot to say about honoring people and we have taught on that. So
yeah, and that's not an excuse to say, well, I'm working for God, so I'm going to.
Yeah.
Treat people like garbage.
No, you do not say. If you're really honoring God, you're going to honor people.
You're going to flow with the authority that he has placed at your job
and
your
and
church.
And that's actually wise, and there's protection in that, too. You made me completely forget where I was going with all that.
Keep working hard. Keep trusting God.
Keep trusting God.
You'll experience incredible victory in life.
Amen.
Amen. That was a great topic.
It was a great topic.
Diligence.
I feel like that flew by. How did 46 minutes just flew by?
That was good.
Wow. Okay, we're going to pray for you. Okay? We're going to pray for you. Do you want to pray or do you want me to pray?
You can pray.
Okay. Lord, we just thank you so much that your spirit is in us, that you are with us, you haven't left us, you're never going to forsake us, and we just praise you right now. That your word says that everything that we put our hand to prospers and everything that we put our hand to is blessed. And so right now we are going to make the decision today to believe that, that if we haven't put our hand to something, we're going to find something to go put our hand to. And we're going to find someone to bless. We're going to find someone to uplift. We're going to find someone to encourage. Lord, and we just thank you that you are opening doors for us. And as we do these things, the doors are going to open, the relationships are going to come, the jobs are going to come. And we just thank you, God, that we are keeping our hearts fixed on being diligent for you, Lord, because you ultimately are our boss and promotion comes from you, Lord. And so right now I just rebuke the devourer off every single person listening to this or watching this. Devourer, you have to leave right now in Jesus' name. And we just thank you for supernatural increase on all of the lives that are watching this. And Lord, we just thank you so much for all the things you've done and all the things you're continuing to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the channel. Watch some of the other videos that are here. We'd love to just keep connecting with you. So leave some comments there as well, but subscribe. Keep coming back. Thank you for joining us on the Purdue Podcast and see you again very soon. God bless you.